so we can open the door. Very quickly, I'd like to deal with the item I pulled off the consent calendar, Mr. Paul Daniels. And basically, the reason why I pulled this off is because of the letter he wrote to the commissioner. He writes, "I'm not going to BS you, I just got lazy. I have been extremely busy building apartments here in Garibaldi the last 3 years, and this didn't have a priority. I am therefore asking you to forgive my $30 late fees." I kind of admire this guy for such brazen honesty, but I don't think that a letter of education would necessarily do the trick in this case. So, entertain a motion to stick with the $30 fee.
Can we increase it?
Okay. Somebody make the motion? Or another motion?
I'll move that we impose the $30 penalty.
Okay. Very well. We'll go to a vote unless there's further discussion on the motion. Yes, Commissioner Edwards.
I just want to say I've had the privilege of sitting next to Commissioner Sosa before, and I'm always so impressed with his notes and his highlighting. And this is the one time I had a sticky note and a highlighter. I'm grateful that you pulled it from the consent agenda because I shared the same concern.
Yes, that's right. And I, too, would like to add to my admiration to Commissioner Sosa for his detailed highlighting and note-taking.
We highlighted impressive. The same thing?
My wife laughs and says, "You highlight everything that doesn't work."
Very good. To the folks who just came in, I want to apologize for the delay as we went through the executive session items. I want to thank you very much for your patience. We know your time is valuable, and we'll try to get through these things as quickly as we can for your convenience.
There's a motion.
Yeah, there's a motion pending. I suppose we ought to vote on it, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Stark?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Kerber?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And I will thank my colleagues for helping keep me in line. So, I'd like some guidance here from staff relating to the people who are here. I'd like to get to them first.
Do you want to do the investigative report first?
So you got item number 19 and item number 12.
19?
And item number
12.
19 and 20. And number 20.
20 or 21?
Okay, 20 is there. I don't see 21 in here.
Just 20 then.
He just didn't sign up.
I see. Okay. So we will go in the order of agenda item 19, the matter of Tamara Stemple. Then we'll go to the matter of John Phelan. Then we'll go to the matter of Luis Gomez. And then the matter of Damian Hall. And then once we've gone through all those folks, we will go in chronological order starting at the top. So I apologize for bouncing around so much, and again, I thank you for your patience. So we will now go to item number 19.
Number 12, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to number 12 first.
Yeah, I think you want to do it in order. It's up to you.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll do that. John Phelan, number 12. So we have a staff report.
I'm calling him.
Okay.
Hi, John. This is Kathy with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. You're on speakerphone.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Okay. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good.
Hello, Director Phelan. This is Richard Burke, Chair of OGEC, And as you know, we're dealing with your stipulated final order today. And so the order of business will be we will have a staff report. Commissioners may ask questions of staff. And then if you'd like to speak, you can say whatever you'd like to say. Then commissioners may ask you questions. And after that's done, presumably some sort of motion will be made, and commissioners will act on that. Do you have any questions?
I don't. I appreciate the chance to have some input into this.
Okay. Very good. And just to make sure, because we've had some phone issues today, Commissioner Fiscom, are you still with us?
Dave?
It appears we lost Commissioner Fiscom, so... Director Phelan, if you can be patient with us just a moment, we'll put you on hold, try to get Commissioner Fiscom back on the line, and we'll come back. If we lose you, we'll call you back, okay?
Not a problem, thank you.
Okay, very good. Sometimes the best use of these phones is as a projectile out the window.
Okay, Dave's not coming back. Just a minute. Conference. Conference service unavailable. No one's telling me that. Conference service unavailable.
Perhaps. He's still on the line, but he stepped away.
Should we try to reach Commissioner Fiscom on this phone, maybe? Okay.
Yeah, I've tried.
Okay.
It might be because it's already at two lines.
Conference service unavailable.
Does it show that there are two lines?
What's the number? We're going to... Just tell us.
Okay, 544. It's 503, I'm sorry. 544-8625.
Confirm that Mr.
Phelan. Yeah, Director Phelan, are you still with us?
I am, yes.
Okay, we are using another phone to comment.
Hey, Dave, this is Ron. I put you on my cell phone, so we'll just keep you there for a bit, okay?
Want me to hang up and call me again, or I'll stay on yourself. Fine.
Yeah, somehow we lost you off the conference
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, I wondered, so I was going to call back in a minute. So I'll just wait. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for being patient, Director Phelan. We now have Commissioner Fiscom on the line with us. So let's begin with the staff report.
Chair Burke, commissioners. Item 12 on page 61 of your meeting book is a stipulated final order for John Phelan, the Director of Public Works for Yamhill County. This matter arose from allegations that Mr. Phelan had used his assigned county vehicle for personal purposes when he drove it to attend a prior commission matter. The investigative report was presented to the commission at its meeting on December 14, 2018. At that time, the commission made preliminary findings of one violation of ORS 244.040. After the commission made its findings, we negotiated the stipulated final order that's in your meeting books. The order provides that John Phelan will pay a civil penalty of $150. I have the penalty matrix available. It is because of his prior violations that the matrix comes out to 3 points. In his prior matter, he did pay a civil penalty of $100.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, I don't see any. So, Director Phelan, if there's anything you'd like to say, now would be the time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'll make this brief. I know you have a full schedule today, but where that happened, and I think that I have a letter on file that actually probably says this, is that there was an incident as far as flooding. There was a flooding issue in Yamhill County. I had started out that morning investigating those floods, in fact, taking pictures of them for our newsletter and so on. We were looking at an antique blade or grader that a gentleman was going to donate to us. and just on the outskirts of Salem. So I went to that residence and took some pictures of that also, and then went to the hearing. At the hearing, then I left and went straight back to my offices in McMinnville. When I did get back to the office, I gave the secretary $4, which I obviously underestimated the mileage. I pictured it to be somewhere around 4 or 5 miles, and I think your investigation shows it's been that it was substantially more, like 8. But I did give my secretary, I do have a receipt for that, for using the company vehicle on a personal matter. Now, on a personal matter, the hearing also had to do with my wife's company, safe conduct as far as a drug testing facility for my agency, and that was one of the complaints the union had brought forth on that hearing, and I felt that that was a company or a Yamhill County issue, not a personal issue. I also drive a company Ford F-150, I guess it is, and I have all of my candles, flares, emergency type stuff in there, and I was told by the previous sheriff that that vehicle is an emergency vehicle and that I have a right to do that. Now, whether that is right or wrong, I'm not contesting that. The long and the short of it is that you know, I feel that there was some rationale why I did that, and I agreed for the stipulation just to get this behind myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions for the director? Commissioner Sugar.
Thank you, Chair Burke. I have a kind of more of a question for either staff or the executive director. Just so that I understand this dilemma, that if you're combining work-related travel with personal travel, would Mr. Phelan have been better off to take a personal vehicle and seek reimbursement for the miles that were work-related than to try to parse out his time in a county vehicle? I think this is an issue that many public employees confront.
Yes. You would have.
That would have been the solution, was to take a personal vehicle and then claim the discrete miles that were used for county business, as opposed to taking a county vehicle and having to go the other direction.
That's correct.
Thank you. All right.
Ma'am, can I interject into that?
Sure.
For me at that time of the day, and for what the issues were happening in Yamhill County, the flooding, and I think that your investigation also has the pictures of the flooding. For me to do that, it was not reasonable to take 3 hours in my personal vehicle when I have a company radio that I was utilizing to dispatch people to the flood event. So, yes, I recognize that that probably would have been proper protocol to do, but not very realistic.
Thank you. I understand that this was a unique situation, and we appreciate that you're participating here today and that you are interested in moving past the issue. It certainly points out that there are complex issues at play, Chair Burke, but at this time I would move to adopt the staff recommendation and approve the stipulated final order.
Okay. The motion is to approve the stipulated final order, staff recommendation. Director Burson, did you have something to add? No? Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fistum?
Aye.
Commissioner Key?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much, Director Phelan. I wish you a happy holiday weekend.
Oh, and I appreciate that. And I'm sorry to take up some time. I know that you're busy.
So thank you very much. And so now we'll go on to the next item that we're going to cover here, and that will be...
Do you want me to get...
No. Yeah, I think we're doing okay. Yeah, I think we're doing okay. Are you able to hear everything all right, Commissioner?
It's on hold.
Oh, that one's on hold?
Interesting. Do you think he's on hold? I pushed hang up. Maybe you have him on hold.
Chair Berg, if that's a question for me, Commissioner Fiskum is on the line on Mr. Berg's phone and hearing everything. Thanks.
Okay.
I think you have him on.
If you're able to hear everything, let's just leave it with the status quo. Because we may
have
on
this line. Hold on.
Okay. Who's on the conference line? I think that was Fiskum.
Yeah, I think so too.
So hang up on it.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay, we have one more person we have to call, and then we can get Dave back on the real phone.
Okay, that's fine. But I think right now we're going to go to item number 19.
Yes.
The matter of Tamara Stemple, who is the mayor and budget committee member of City of Gladstone. So, Your Honor, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
And as you know, we'll have a staff report. Commissioners will ask staff questions if they have any. And then... if you wish, you can say whatever you'd like to say. Commissioners may have questions for you. And then after that, a motion may be made, which the commission may act upon.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, very well. Let's proceed with the staff report.
Chair Burke, commissioners, Ms. Stemple is mayor of the City of Gladstone and a member of the city's budget committee. Her spouse is a member of the city's fire department. And the issue that was examined in this investigation was whether Ms. Stemple failed to disclose potential conflicts of interest on two occasions when the funding for the fire department was at issue. The information appears to be sufficient to show that Ms. Stemple was met with a potential conflict of interest during the April 17, 2017 budget committee meeting and failed to disclose the nature of her conflict prior to voting to approve the fire department's budget for 2017 to 2019. The budget included an increase to fund two new positions, and her spouse was employed by the fire department at that time and eligible to fill either of the positions. And he did, in fact, receive a promotion to one of these newly created positions. Also, on June 12, 2018, in her official capacity as city councilor, Ms. Stemple participated in the vote to approve placing the renewal of the city's fire and medical services levy on the ballot for approval by voters. Information appears sufficient to show Ms. Stemple failed to disclose the potential conflict of interest prior to this vote, even though her spouse was employed by the fire department at that time. The report's in your meeting book with a recommendation to make preliminary finding of two violations of the conflict of interest provision.
Okay, are there any questions from commissioners to staff? Okay, I see none.
I have one.
Yes.
Ms. Gould, did your findings confirm the statement on page 94, Ms. Stemple's statement saying that the levy was only for funding a full-time training coordinator, which is not what her husband did?
Well, I didn't confirm it because I didn't write the report. I'm just kind of filling in for someone. But I think the issue was just the levy in general, that there was funding that this was going up for renewal, and it pertained to the fire department in general. And that could be a potential conflict of interest for her spouse.
And I can maybe, because I did look at the report and you might be wanting to add, Ms. Stemple, some questions. I believe that the basis for this was that, so her husband, as I understand it, is funded by a grant that would have expired before the renewed levy went through, and that there was some discussion of if the levy didn't pass, which it always does overwhelmingly, but if it didn't pass, that the whole fire department, which is small, might be affected because they would have to get general funds and you know, they'd have less money.
Okay. Thank you.
other additional questions of staff?
I just make a comment. Yeah. I understand we need to keep the books not too thick, but sometimes some of these exhibits or documents would be helpful to have the actual document. For example, the response letter from Ms. Stemple would have been helpful. I know that we saw it originally back when we voted to investigate, but some of the comments, I like to have a little bit more to look at. Because I don't have an independent memory of that from last time. So.
Very good.
Thanks. Just yeah. Real quick, if you folks are, you know, when you get the books, if there's something that you want, you know, just send me an email and we'll get that out to you. You know, I mean, even if you see it on a Saturday or something, send me an email and we'll get it out to you as soon as we can.
Okay.
So. Because they are available, it's just in the font.
And I know that there's a competing
yeah, sometimes you know, they're really
desire
big,
but, to keep it thick.
But we're happy to provide any information you folks need.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, Mayor Stemple, if you'd like to make a comment, now is your chance.
And I did bring my husband, who's the firefighter, so if there's any fire budget specific stuff, he's the guy. And to answer your question, the grant funding, the captain's positions are funded by the general fund, not by the grant. The grant just happened to come after the fact, so the levy doesn't impact the general fund positions. It was just the levy has always been just for capital and for the training, so it doesn't fund at all those other captain's positions. Okay, first was that the report that I was mailed out on the 16th, and I just got it last night, so I didn't really have much of an opportunity to read through it. So in relation to the budget committee, at the time, the April meeting, I was the new mayor with zero support. I was not the staff's choice, and I was not the council's choice, so I was not supported in any way. And in that, I was not given any type of ethics training. I really didn't even know you guys existed until I started getting ethics complaints filed against me. So, surprise. So I always relied on the city legal counsel for advice to give us direction on what we should and shouldn't do. Myself, I had a husband on the fire department, and two other counselors had sons on the fire department at the time of the budget committee vote meeting. All participated in the budget committee, and all three of us, at the direction of our city attorney, claimed a conflict of interest at the city council level when the budget was adopted. So the attorney was very aware the whole time of our connections with the fire department. We actually took a straw poll to see who could vote because we didn't have a quorum, so that was an interesting thing. The levy, again, that was specifically asked of the city attorney, and the city attorney did not think that it was an issue because the levy was for the training position and capital, so it didn't impact, other than it would keep our whole department safe because we had good equipment. The attorney determined that there wasn't a conflict and said that I could vote. In general, I feel that this lack of ethics knowledge is systemic. The first formal ethics training that I ever got, and I, before mayor, I was on planning commission for 14 years, and the only time we got ethics was when there were specific topics that we were addressing. Other than that, nothing. The first ethics training I got was from you folks this past January. That was it. And then I've asked that for moving forward every January when we have our new electeds and our new volunteers on board that we, again, have you guys come up and do that formal training. And then we're also going to have you do a formal training at our budget committee level, so that's budget specific. Prior to that, it was, like I said, spotty, and our legal team did it, and I'm kind of questioning some of the advice that we've been getting from them. Over the past few years, both Councilors Linda Neese and Neil Reisner, with sons on the fire department, voted on both the budget committee and also on the council level, adopting the budget. And there was never a question or concern with their participation. It's something that's been going on for years, so I think that's why it was never questioned. But ethics complaints were never filed against them. It was this is politically driven. It was filed a week after I submitted my paperwork to run for mayor again. And I was not their choice. I was running against their candidate. Since that time, like I said, now our city is, because of all of this, our city is now requiring formal ethics training every January and for the budget committee. And if there's any other times where you all think it's appropriate, I am more than happy to advocate for that and implement it. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come here and speak. Any violations that were made were absolutely not intentional in any way, shape, or form. And I apologize for that, but I would ask that these be dismissed and that I feel that we have the things in place to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Are there any questions for the mayor? Commissioner Keene.
Mayor Semple, thank you for being here again. You did declare a conflict at one point.
At the council level, at the advice of the attorney.
And,
yes.
And what vote was that for?
It was to adopt the budget.
Okay. Did that have to do with the levy?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, that was just the general budget.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner Sugar.
Are you done? I'm done. Thank you.
And just to confirm my understanding, what you're telling us is that the levy vote did not present you with a conflict of interest because
Correct.
Your husband's position was not at issue.
Correct.
Okay. So you did declare a conflict in the first
at the budget.
At the budget committee
yes.
meeting.
No, at the city council meeting on the budget.
Yeah, city council on the budget.
June 12th.
Two separate.
The June 12th one. I'm trying to sort out all
yeah,
of these.
The budget
Sorry.
Committee meeting was April.
April 17th.
April 17th, and I believe the city council vote on that is generally in June, so that would have been probably
okay.
the June. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the levy came after because we were putting that on the ballot that next, the fall of 2018.
Great.
I believe. Been just this whirlwind of dates.
Yeah, and also I think what I heard you tell us is that you prior to the declaring the conflict at the city council meeting, you consulted with
the city
the
attorney.
City attorney.
Yes.
And
all of us did.
You
because
and
there was
two three. City councilors also recused yourself
yes.
from that vote.
Yes.
Second, you consulted with the city attorney prior to the vote on the levy.
It was all, yeah, the attorney, yes, the
was
attorney.
Was the attorney at the meeting?
Yes.
And do you, in each instance, did you follow the advice of counsel?
Yes, absolutely.
And your counsel never at any time felt there was a reason beyond that to recuse yourself?
No. But, and it's funny because lately, and I think I've talked to Monica, our attorney just came forward and said, we aren't going to advise you on ethics anything ever again. Like, okay.
And I guess now, my final sort of area of questions is I would like to just confirm what I think I heard you say, which is that since this time you have brought in the Oregon Government
yes.
Ethics Commission trainers
yes.
more than once?
We brought you in January, and then I wanted to bring you in March for our budget, but our city staff did not do that. Instead, they hired our city attorney to do it, and they ran it through in like 10 minutes, and I certainly don't feel that it was sufficient. So in the future, I want to have you folks come in. I didn't realize the resource that you are. I just thought you were just the complaint-driven body, not the help us not get these complaints body.
And then you also, I think I heard you say, intend to bring the Oregon Government Ethics Commission trainers each time there are new elected officials.
January. Yep, January is our turnover.
Okay. Director Burson, I have a question for the team here. I know our mission is to educate. It appears as though we have done an excellent job of that in this case. I also really struggle to understand the staff recommendation because maybe I'm missing something, and I'm willing to acknowledge that that's a possibility, but it seems though there was a declaration of conflict in the first instance, and in the second instance, I'm struggling to see what the conflict is with the levy. And so I know Ms. Whedon isn't here, and mm-hmm. so she may have a deeper knowledge of this than we do here today, but I guess I'm kind of leaning against the staff recommendation, and I'd like a little bit more of your thoughts.
Well, I mean, you're going to always see our staff recommendations be probably on the most conservative side. So, you know, I always feel like I'm not the body to kind of eliminate these things. So in the budget meeting, there's a conflict of interest. I think technically there is a conflict of interest. Whether there will be a conflict of interest in the future, it seems doubtful now with some of the awareness. Of course, mayors are not there forever. But it seems like if you kind of create some type of process where you actually the city now knows that we're here, and by the way, we're free.
Yes.
We don't charge.
That's awesome. Thank you.
As far as the levy goes, I know we went around and around a little bit with our attorney here on this, but I feel as though the levy, it may not add funds specifically to the position, but it adds funds to the fire department. If those funds aren't there, they're still going to do those actions that the levy has, and it would take away from the others. Again, it may be a little bit of a conservative interpretation, but that was my thought there. But we bring you these recommendations. Obviously, there's some we say move to dismiss because we simply don't find anything. But sometimes we find maybe it technically is, maybe it's not. But that's what the 9-person body here is kind of to determine, and why our reports maybe are as detailed as they are. I think if you went to other regulatory bodies and looked at their reports, they may not be as long and arduous sometimes to go through. So that's kind of the thinking here.
Can I respond a little bit before I hand it over? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that explanation. Thank you. I think I'm still leaning in this against the staff recommendation on this. I'm sorry that Commissioner O'Day isn't here, because I know that in past conversations I've heard him talk about these votes on a budget that it's the general fund, it's the whole budget, and an individual spouse, employee, you know, it's difficult for me to believe, and I think he uses a term of art that I don't recall. I'm looking at Commissioner Keene if she remembers what that term of art is, but he talks about this, you know, sort of the whole field of people who are benefited. It's not an individual benefit. And so I don't even know. I mean, I appreciate that the mayor did declare a conflict of interest and stayed out of that general fund vote, but I'm not even sure that was required. And I wish Commissioner O'Day was here to clarify that for me, based on his expertise. But then on the levy piece, I'm not 100% comfortable that some attenuated benefit to the department, which the mayor's husband serves in, but no actual benefit to his own salary or his own compensation package. I'm not super comfortable with that being a violation. So that's where I am right now, and thank you for the discussion, Chair.
Sure. Very well. Commissioner Sosa is next, then our legal counsel.
Unless you want to address something before I ask questions. Okay. So I just want to make sure that I understand the facts. And Mayor Stemple, if you'll bear with me here. So it looks like in April of 2017, you are chairing the Budget Committee meeting.
Yes.
Where they are discussing creating these two new positions. Your husband is filling one of them temporarily.
No, he was filling. Our training director at that time was injured.
Okay.
And so he was backfilling his position, which was a workers' comp funded position.
Okay, got it. And so, if I understood correctly in the materials here, You did chair the meeting in April. You did not declare conflict at that time.
Correct.
Okay. And it says that you did participate in the discussions, but you ultimately did not vote?
No, I don't. That's just the way I do it. I don't vote normally, even on the city council level, unless there's a,
A tie.
Or a result. Yeah, or if we call a roll call vote.
Okay. And yeah. At that time, in that April meeting, did you have any thought or expectation that if these positions were approved, that your husband might become one of these new fire captains?
I had no idea what that was even going to look like, so no. It's very competitive, very, very competitive.
Okay. And so then it's in the June meeting, 2 months later, that you do then declare that conflict?
At the advice of the attorney. The attorney told the three of us that we needed to.
Okay, understood. And then, but by that point, this issue of the levy now comes up, but it seems like it was so peripheral to, you know, affecting your husband that you as well as the council attorney did not deem it to be.
And this was a couple months later, yes.
Okay.
The end of.
Okay.
More than a couple months.
I just wanted to make sure
like
I understood the timeline
later.
And your involvement. Yes. So, thank you.
Yeah, I think there was a year between the budget and the levy. One was 2017, the next was 2018.
Oh, okay. Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Mason.
Did you want to go?
No.
Okay. So I would advocate to move to dismiss this because there's too much of a gray area between whether it could, you know, some of the specifics here. The investigator that did the report, or at least the initial, is no longer here. It sounds like they got political warfare at the city that would be used, that if we went to move to investigation would be used in a negative way. And it seems like the safest move on our part would be to move to dismiss it. So I would make the motion.
Okay, there's a motion to dismiss. Is there any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Keene?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot to take the gun.
Oh, okay. So seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimous.
Thank you very, very much. And I promise you will be on speed dial from now moving forward.
Well, Mayor Semple, I hope you have a good holiday weekend, and thank you
too.
For coming today.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay, let's see. Do we have anyone else here?
Yeah, we got Mr. Gomez wants to be on the phone. So.
Okay.
Oh. Trying to sit down this list.
Yeah.
The number you dialed is not in service.
That's not a good sign.
Love this phone. Okay.
And while we're waiting for that, can I just say to the director and to the staff, when I moved to dismiss, it doesn't mean that I don't value the investigation that was done.
We don't
and
take it personally
at all. I actually really appreciate that. So thank you.
So there's no reason for the commissioner should have dartboard in your office.
No, Mr. Gomez, this is the bargaining government.
No,
it's
yes, well.
Okay. Good morning. This is Richard Burke, chair of the Government Ethics Commission. I want to make sure that we refer to your name properly. Do you prefer Louis, Louis, or Luis?
Louis.
Okay. Very good, Mr. Gomez. Thank you very much. The way this is going to work here is we will have a staff report on this matter. Commissioners may or may not ask staff questions. Then, if you wish. You can say whatever you would like to say. Commissioners may or may not ask you questions, and then the commission may make some sort of a decision. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, so we will begin with the staff report.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Diane Gould, Investigator. Mr. Gomez was the city administrator for the city of Oak Ridge, and beginning in 2016, he contracted on behalf of the city for its fire chief services with a company called Michael V. Hansen Consulting. Mr. Gomez, who has a law enforcement background, wished to obtain a private investigator license and start a business to do investigations upon his retirement. Michael Hansen and Louis Gomez became friends and they were discussing over a private meal the opportunities for such consulting and investigation work in the area of emergency services, especially personnel background checks. In 2017, Mr. Gomez created his business, obtained his PI license, and received permission from the city council to engage in work through his private business on his own time. In early 2018, Mr. Gomez conducted 3 pre-employment background checks for a South Carolina public entity for Michael Hansen's company. Mr. Gomez's company received a total of $313 for this work. Mr. Gomez ceased his business-to-business relationship with Mr. Hansen's company and disclosed that fact orally and in writing at a city council meeting in May of 2018 after Mr. Gomez consulted the city's attorney as to whether he might have a possible conflict of interest. The complainants, plural, in this case, alleged that Mr. Gomez, by virtue of working for the fire chief's company, while also overseeing the contract between that company and the city, had violated Oregon government ethics law. Information did not show that Mr. Gomez used the city's resources, time, or equipment to conduct the work he did for his private company, and there was no evidence that the opportunity for his business to work for Mr. Hansen's business would not have been available but for holding his position with the city. Neither he nor a relative of his is an employee, officer, director, owner, or agent of Mr. Hansen's business, nor does Mr. Gomez receive 10% or more of his annual household income from that business. Therefore, Mr. Hansen's business is not a business with which Mr. Gomez is associated for purposes of the application of the conflicts of interest and use of office provisions of Oregon government ethics law. The investigation report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to dismiss the complaint. Mr. Gomez is on the phone, and also at your stations here is an email from one of the complainants in the case that he wanted you to consider.
Okay, are there any questions for Ms. Gould? Investigator Gould. Yes, Mr. King.
Ms. Gould, does this email by Mr. Ball dated April 18th cause you to change any of your recommendations?
No, it
does not. Okay, any other questions for Investigator Gould? Seeing none, Mr. Gomez, if you'd like to make a statement, this would be the time to do that.
Well, all I would like to say is I just would like to thank the commission for allowing me to listen in on the process, and I've always tried to be a process-driven person, so I do appreciate the opportunity to listen to the proceedings.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Gomez. Are there any questions for Mr. Gomez from the commissioners? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the staff recommendation.
Okay, Commissioner Mason moves to accept staff recommendation to dismiss the complaint. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fistum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much. The complaint is dismissed, Mr. Gomez. We hope you have a good holiday weekend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everything from the commission. You all have a good weekend also.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Do we have anyone else to contact on
number
the phone?
13. No, no phone. Oh,
you don't want me to get Dave back on?
No, he's doing fine.
Okay,
we'll do it after lunch.
We have another
number 13 is.
We have a few people here.
We have some people here.
Diana.
Yeah, 13 through 18, or 13 to 17, right here.
Okay, is that the next number of a person who's actually here?
Number 13 is
matter of Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. Is
okay,
here.
Very good. So we'll go to number 13, the matter of Dick Anderson, City Councilor, City of Lincoln City.
Everybody's taking care of on this.
Okay, very good. Okay, so Mr. Anderson, thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
You've probably heard this before, but the routine is we'll have a staff report. Commissioners will ask
staff questions if they have any. Then if you'd like to speak, you can. Commissioners may ask you questions, and then they may take some action on the stipulated final order. So staff report, please.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers. Item number 13 is a stipulated final order for Dick Anderson. He is the current mayor of the city of Lincoln City. At the time of the events in question, he was a city council member. At its meeting on December 14, 2018, the commission considered the preliminary review report in this matter and voted to open an investigation to determine whether an executive session held on April 24, 2017, the mayor and city council members violated ORS 192660 by first discussing a topic that had not been announced and for which they had not cited the proper statutory authority, and second, by removing an approved news media representative from the executive session. The respondents in this case, during the course of the investigation, indicated an interest in resolving these matters without completing the investigative phase. In the stipulated final order in your meeting book, Mr. Anderson is stipulating to two violations of 192660 and has agreed to receive a letter of education in lieu of civil penalty.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for staff? Okay, there are none. So, Councillor Anderson, if you'd like to make a statement, as your big chance.
Thank you very much. Actually, if it's all right, I'm sitting in for not only myself, but the other city councilors, I think, that are making up your other list there from Lincoln City, except for the former mayor, Don Williams. I won't speak for him. And I think the report is more than adequate. I might note for this commission that as we've come before you before, it's always been executive session issues. And much like one of your earlier hearings, there's always a group of people that like to, you know, question, and certainly their right to do so. We take advice from counsel. We have in-house legal counsel, and we've also done ethics training. I, as stated, am the newly elected mayor, and right away all our, including myself, have attended League of City ethics training and government. We will continue to do that, and you'll see the education requirement more than adequate, and continue to pursue, you know, that fine line, I think, in often the case.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Anderson. Are there any questions of the councillor from commissioners? Okay, there are no questions, so I'll entertain a motion.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay, Commissioner Keene moves to accept staff recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Key?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Anderson.
Thank you.
Do you want to do the next?
Yeah, these are all the same.
They're all going to be the same.
Yes. Okay, very well.
I move to accept staff recommendation on item 14.
Okay. Is so moved. Discussion? Seeing none, go to a vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, number 15, the matter of Diana Hinton.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay, it is so moved.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Number 16, the matter of Dennis Hoagland.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
So moved.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Number 17, the matter of Ms. Susan Walke.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
It is so moved.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. So that takes us to item number 18, which I understand is not like the ones that we've just passed.
It actually is the same circumstances, just not...
Correct.
Mr. Anderson is not here for the mayor.
I see. Okay.
Mr. Mayor. Williams was represented by a different attorney. However, the stipulations are primarily the same.
Okay. Then the chair will entertain a motion.
May I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So, Ms. Myers, do I understand correctly that it is this former Mayor Williams is the person who is alleged to have assured the others that that he had checked with ethics and that it was permissible to have this vote in executive session?
Correct. During the executive session, he said he had checked with ethics. There was some confusion. He later, in the same executive session, said he had checked with the League of Oregon Cities. After the investigation was opened, we did have an interview with him and his counsel. He could not recall whether it was the Ethics Commission or League of Cities that he had called. We have no record of the call. The League of Cities log, because I know Commissioner O'Day was concerned for it, did not show a call. And so
we don't know. I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay. It is so moved.
Commissioner.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, very well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Have a safe drive back to Lincoln City. Yes. Investigator Gould.
We have a gentleman here for item number 21, which is an advisory opinion that you all will be voting on.
Okay, very well. What is your name, sir?
Damien Hall.
Just like it says in the book.
Yes, sir.
Damien Hall. Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
Okay, this is an advisory opinion.
Yes.
Page 131 in your meeting book.
Okay, very good.
Chair?
Yes.
Just out of the abundance of disclosure that our group is accustomed to, I'd just like to share that my boss, Commissioner Hardesty, has been very supportive of the Portland Clean Energy Fund and has a longstanding relationship with it. And as her chief of staff, I do engage with this coalition from time to time as they're moving to implement at the city. So I have talked to folks from the coalition and encouraged them to interact with this body and seek advice and get this opinion. So I just want to make sure that folks know that I've had this conversation.
So you caused this.
I'd just also like to disclose that I know Mr. Hall professionally and I don't have any problem participating, but just wanted to disclose that.
Okay, very good. I want to make sure I don't make a mistake here. This is the first time since I've been chair that a person has come to testify seeking an advisory opinion. So I want to make sure that I observe the correct protocol. So would you like to...
I mean, Mr. Hall can speak for himself. I don't think he's here to testify to it. I guess unless he disagrees with what we said in the opinion.
Sure.
But, you know, we get requested opinions, and this is one that requires a commission vote. So it's actually an advisory opinion. You'll notice it's been signed by our legal counsel.
Sure.
Also is required to be reviewed by Department of Justice.
Sure. Well, I like to run an accessible meeting, is there anything you'd like to say, Mr. Hall?
Not a whole lot. Again, my name is Damien Hall. I'm a partner with the Portland law firm called Baljanic. I'm helping out the coalition of folks who
got an initiative passed called the Portland Clean Energy Fund. They're doing a community-led process to establish what that looks like and bring a proposal to the city council. That hasn't happened yet, so that's some of the reason for the hypothetical nature of the question being asked. I'm really here to answer any questions and provide context. I've worked with Director Bernstein and Investigator Myers, and they've been great to work with and help me through this process, and I agree with the proposed advisory opinion.
Okay, very good. Commissioner King.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I had one question about whether or not this committee is even a public body subject to the conflict of interest statutes, and that would in part depend on whether the committee reports directly to the council in making its grant recommendations, in which case it benefits. And if it must operate with a quorum, in which case it would be a public body, but if it reports to a commissioner or a director, then it wouldn't be a public body and therefore not subject to the rules in general. So, Ms. Falkey?
So the specific ordinance on that does not go into that level of detail. My understanding of the anticipated structure kind of at this nation point is that there would be a recommendation from this grant committee directly to the city council.
Okay. So in that case, it would be a public body, and then it therefore is relevant whether or not the conflict of interest rules apply.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner.
And my understanding is that could change depending on recommendations from the mayor as well. This could become, for example, some bureau that did live within a commissioner's office that then would report directly. So it may, over time, change depending on what the mayor's, what the relationship develops over time.
I mean, the fact that, thank you, and the fact that they've adopted rules that are stricter than what's required, it wouldn't change the analysis here, but it would if it was never a public body.
Okay. Director Burson?
So I maybe have a question for Amy here. So I thought they were because the committee members are appointed by the city council, and that makes them a public body.
Yes, I agree. I mean, they wouldn't be a public body for executive session purposes if you report to an individual, but I think they are a public body here under the statute. I confess that I did not look into that issue and trace back what they are, but they are appointed by as executive director versus
but I think if they don't report to the ultimate decision maker,
mm-hmm.
and if there's an intermediary who actually can exert his or her own discretion in accepting or not the recommendation, at least that's how I've always viewed it, that it's not a public body. But it sounds like it's moot anyways because it's reporting, at least for now, to the ultimate decision maker, which is the council.
And the way that the initial request submitted couched the issue, it did not raise the issue of whether it's a public body. It sort of took as a fundamental starting point of the analysis, this is a public body, mm-hmm. and we would like to move forward with that presumption. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's not a detailed analysis mm-hmm. of that particular issue.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I think this requires a motion. So I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt the commission advisory opinion.
Okay. It is so moved by Commissioner Keene. Unless there's more discussion, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fistum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Have a good weekend and a safe trip back.
Perfect. All right. Yes, it's been a pleasure. You know, very interesting.
Did meeting. You grab lunch and then we can clean up these last few little things?
Yeah, but let's do 9 first. We've got two real quick ones. We've got number 9 and number, I guess we've got 11 and 9.
No.
Yeah, let's do. So we need to go. Let's do number 11 and number 9, then we'll break for lunch.
Okay.
Okay.
So on number 9.
Yeah, one or the other first.
No, it's
we're bouncing all over the place, too.
So, This is a fourth quarter expenditure report that was late. It's the second time this person has been late, and so I basically did 10% of the total fine. She has since left Oregon Bio and has terminated this, so there shouldn't be any other matters happening with this.
She hasn't taken up residency in the Ecuadorian embassy.
No, not that I know of, but anyway, she I reduced it down to 10%. That's what my recommendation is for a second violation.
I move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Okay, it has been so moved. Discussion on the motion? None. We'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, it takes us to number 11, the matter of Steve Holm.
So, I'm gonna tell you folks that I'm between a rock and a hard place here. Mm-hmm. You folks asked me to go back to Mr. Holmes and look at this issue again, mm-hmm. and I have no. Mr. Holmes has not contacted us, and so I know there's been some talk, but I want to point out that every other person that was in this meeting, you folks, and including this body here, have voted to give those actually define this violation and for the same exact stipulated final order. So we weren't able to get a hold of them. I'm asking you folks to, let's see. Oh, just, my phone's trying to get another call. It's my wife.
Oh.
Calling me. She knows she didn't call me in this yeah. meeting. But anyway, on the record, did I put that out earlier today? So anyway, I will say, like I said, I think we can have these discussions about using the attorney, like we had Mr. Montoya in here today saying that, you know, he uses CSI. This is not CSI. This is not the insurance policy that's out there. It was actually using the actual the public body's attorney. So what I'm asking you folks for is to treat this person the same as we treated everybody else and approve the stipulated final order, even with the little caveat that Mr. Holm put in there. But I cannot get a hold of him, and I'm asking to try to close this account out, be the last of the lakesides.
For now.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed. I know that Mr. Holmes will not be before us again because he is not in a public official position any longer. So I apologize. I was unable to talk with him, but I could not make that happen.
Okay. Questions or comments or a motion? Commissioner Keene.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I keep struggling with this. I wish my fellow commissioner, Mr. O'Day, were here because he's much more familiar with this issue than I am. This case presents two issues. First of all, they all voted to have their attorney be able to represent them for ethics violations. And it's problematic because even if they had each declared a conflict and recused themselves, they could just all do that, one after the other. So it's odd that the law doesn't provide a mechanism for that. But so putting that issue aside, I guess I believe that that in-house general counsels for governmental entities represent their officials on all sorts of, they indemnify their officials on all sorts of government actions. And if it's later determined that the government official acted beyond the scope of their authority or acted maliciously or fraudulently, then they would have to pay for their own representation. And I don't see why actions that are taken
in the scope of their authority that implicate ethics, or, you know, ORS 244 should be treated differently than every other action that's taken in the scope of responsibility. And that's why I fundamentally do not believe that that is a gift. I believe it's that public officials are entitled to representation if they are acting within the scope of their authority. If it's later found that they didn't, then that's a different question. But that's a question for the entity, not for the Ethics Commission. It's just, I mean, the fact that Mr. Montoya represents CIS, I mean, in those cases, the public agency is paying for Mr. Montoya's representation. These individuals aren't, so it's the same thing. I am troubled by them all voting to do that, although if it's part of their compensation package, there's almost no way to have that happen without them all voting. So I guess I am just, I don't get it. I don't see why it's a gift. I understand that this is that it's potential personal liability. And therefore, if we find a violation, then they have personally violated it. But that is the same with any allegation of improper conduct by a public official. If they are found to have acted for their own interest, then they would probably have to pay back their attorney's fees to their local government. But I guess I just don't see it as a gift under the ethics. And I may be just missing something. But I believe that public officials should be indemnified and defended and held harmless if they've been acting in the scope of their responsibility, even if it's later found that that was incorrect, unless they were doing it intentionally. Okay.
Thank you, Counselor.
I just wanted to point out a couple of things. The first being to pick up on the executive director's sort of law of the case that you have this group of people, most of whom cooperated with the commission and signed a stipulation, and you have the one holdout who didn't, who will now get more preferential treatment in the exact same case, that everyone around this table voted in favor of a stipulation on one of those individuals. It wasn't even a different commission. It was this commission. And there's something to be said for law of the case or being consistent and fair to the other people who did cooperate with the commission up front and not rewarding the person who did not.
Can you remind us of was that a letter of education?
Yes, it is a letter of education with the two violations. The other thing is that this commission has issued advice that tells people that they cannot vote personally on their own. Like in this case, they had a commission, they had an ethics violation. So they went back and they said, you are going to represent us in this case. And there was no attempt to go and have it be. We're not saying that it can't be part of the official compensation package, or there can't be insurance representation, which also has the screening and all of those things that this situation does not. That did not happen. They went back and voted in their own personal interest to have this person represent them, which was like a tenfold increase in what the district was paying for their attorney. They got advised, I think, by their attorney who was going to get that money. So there's kind of law of the case fairness, that issue, and if you want to make a change of the law, you want to say something, do it prospectively instead of in the midst of a case where all of these people have already been held to account for it. And I also would point out, even though it's not apropos in this case, the statute does not allow the Attorney General to represent any state official before this body once an ethics complaint is filed. And I think that that does make sort of a statement about how this is done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that, especially the reminder, I don't remember it, but that this law of the case was in front of this same commission.
Okay, further discussion or motion? Director Larson.
You kept referring to gift. Did,
it's not a gift violation here. There's a use of office.
That's
2440. 040 is a use of office.
Oh, okay, good.
So,
thank you.
Okay. Anything else for the discussion or motion?
Because of the law of the case and because of the consistency, I will support the staff recommendation and agree to the stipulation. I also am uncomfortable with the handwritten comments by Mr. Holm, only because I never like it when someone's not comfortable with something they've agreed to. It's really clear to me that he's not happy with it, and the fact that he doesn't return the messages, I mean, he is not comfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I understand the concern that he would, you know, be getting away with something that everyone else had to stipulate to, but I also, I'm just not really comfortable with his discomfort. The other thing I would like to potentially put on an agenda for some future discussion, perhaps at a retreat if we have another one at some point, is this idea of when it is or isn't okay for members of a public body to engage their public body's legal counsel in their interactions with this commission. I mean, we had the same situation with the governor's legal counsel engaging with us. And so it's not an easy question. It's complicated. And our black and white analysis maybe isn't helpful. Maybe we need to delve more deeply into it as a group and then maybe help ourselves refine how we're going to analyze these in the future.
Okay. So, Commissioner Edwards? I'm sorry.
I guess I just want to say I don't want to try to do that here today,
yeah.
but I would like to put it on some future agenda.
Okay. Commissioner Edwards?
To Commissioner Sugar's point of the handwritten notes, I also noted that Mr. Holmes believes that he would win if we had gone to a trial situation or, you know, court, and we believe we would win. And I think what he's asking for, in a sense, is actually his day in court. And I'm actually inclined to not support the settlement because I agree. I don't think he wants to clearly settle.
Mm-hmm.
I think we think we would win, and he thinks he would win. And to me, that seems an appropriate use of having that conversation in that venue to find out really if we had done the right thing or if he really did not deserve to have this letter. So I'm not a lawyer, so I get to have a slightly more simplistic view, but just as a person reading the case and my purview is it seems like an appropriate conversation perhaps to move into that realm.
Yeah, our investigator and then Director Burson.
I was simply going to clarify that during the process, since I inherited this case, we did send him more than once a notice of violation, contested case notice, an opportunity to request a hearing, and he never did ask for a contested case hearing. He never, you know, he simply ignored us a lot of times.
Director Burson?
Well, that's what I was going to say, that he did not secure his appeal right, so he doesn't have that ability to go to court at this time. And as far as doing a default, I mean, if we did a default, the default would be basically the same thing here, because all we can do is give him a letter of ed because of the attorney. So, anyway, I guess we give him more than that, couldn't we? We give him a default because it's actually a couple of violations. It's not an executive session.
Right.
But I really don't know if you guys really want to be giving it a default for, what would it be, $10,000?
Yeah. Commissioner Sosa?
Yeah.
I'd be afraid that he wouldn't get a hold of us in time, and then the 20 days would expire, and then he's stuck with a $10,000 fine. So, again, back to the fairness issue, I guess I'd just like to see the whole governing body be treated the same. So that's all I had. I'm sorry.
Commissioner Sosa.
Thank you, Chair. I
don't feel comfortable with people putting in editorials of their own in our stipulated final orders. I don't think that's a good precedent to set. On that basis, I would be inclined to vote against it, but I also understand all the considerations that have been mentioned here, treating everybody fairly, getting this behind us all once and for all, and ultimately probably winding up with the same result anyway. But I would just say I will be supporting staff's recommendation with the caveat that I do not appreciate people writing in their notes on this of how they feel about it, and I would only be supporting it in this circumstance based on the individual.
Okay, lots of feelings on the table, but we don't have a motion yet. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I would make a motion that we adopt staff recommendation and accept the stipulated final order.
Okay, it's been so moved. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner
Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskham?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
I'm reluctantly voting aye to close the matter.
Motion passes unanimously.
Yes. Yes. Let's get lunch, come back, and work through the rest of the meeting. There's